Good evening, everyone. We're very glad to see you at the midweek service this Wednesday night. Be assured we appreciate your fellowship and your presence with us. The opening hymn this evening is 406. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, and more of his love who died for me. There's the four verses, hymn 406, and we're going to stand as we sing all of the verses together, please.
More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness be, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness be, more of his love who died for me. Jesus, let me learn more of his holy will this word. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus. Jesus did his work, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus. On his throne, riches and glory, all his own. More of his kingdom's cure and grace, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness, the more of his love who died for me.
Amen. Let's just seek the Lord together, please. In the attitude of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we enter in before Thee in the Saviour's great name. Very thankful, Father, that we can seek Thee. We recognize and confess our weakness and our feebleness. We need the power of God. Your word says that You give power to the faint. To them that have no might, You increase strength. And Lord, we ask for Your might tonight, the power of Thy Spirit, to come down, even to rest upon us. We're glad that in prayer we can bring this meeting to Thee, spread the meeting out before the throne of grace. Ask Thee, Father, just to be with us and to guide us through the meeting in every part. We pray for the blessing of God to come upon this meeting. We ask, Father, we'll know Your blessing tonight anew and afresh. We do praise Thee for past blessings, how You bless us every day. We recognize, Father, there's times that we've experienced your blessing, great blessings, but we have not recognized it. But Lord, we want to thank you tonight for every blessing. And we thank you for how you've blessed us in the things of God, blessed us spiritually. And we pray, Father, bless this meeting tonight. Thank you for our brethren and sisters. We thank you for the common salvation that binds us together in Christ. We rejoice tonight in our Savior. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Our prayer and desire as we gather here tonight is that he would have all the glory. Remember that your word says that the Lamb has all the glory. Remember the words of the hymn writer. The Lamb has all the glory in Emmanuel's land. And Lord, we pray that he might have all the glory in this service tonight. We pray that Christ, our Savior, would have the preeminent place in this meeting. We pray that you'll come amongst us, come and visit us tonight. Come down, Father, and present yourself with us so that all that are here will know that this is the Lord's house in truth, and all that are here will know the Lord is present. And we pray, Father, that each of us would have a sight and a vision of the Lord this evening. Thank you for the words we've sung. More about Jesus would I know. Lord, increase and deepen, strengthen that desire in our hearts. Give us a greater thirst for the things of God. Give us a greater thirst to know Christ, to have deeper communion, closer fellowship with him. We remember that Paul cried out after many years as a believer, many years even in the work of God, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. We remember, Father, what the scriptures tell us of Jehoshaphat. He said that mine eyes are upon thee. And Lord, may that be true of us tonight. So many things in life, so many things in the land, even across the earth, to disturb and to cause anxiety. Your word teaches us that in the last days, men's heart would fail them for fear of those things that are coming upon the earth. But Lord, we pray that our eyes might ever be upon thee. Help us to keep our eyes fixed upon our God, the one that's on the throne, the sovereign Lord that's ruling over all. And Lord, our prayer would be that you'll come down tonight into this meeting just in a special and in an unusual manner. Hear these, our prayers, and bless us now. May the dew of God come upon us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning in the scriptures, please, with a short scripture reading, 1 Kings and the 17th chapter. 1 Kings chapter 17. It's the beginning of the story of Elijah in the Word of God. Elijah comes onto the scene, onto the stage of scripture very suddenly. It's as if he just bursts forth. We're not told very much about his background, other than the fact that he was a Tishbite. We don't know anything about his upbringing, his childhood, any of those early years. So we're reading tonight in 1 Kings 17, just the first 7 verses of the chapter. Let's hear the word of the Lord. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, that is unto Elijah, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So just closing our reading there tonight, the end of verse 7, praying for the Lord's very definite blessing to be upon this, the public reading of his word. Verse 3 are the words of our text tonight. 1 Kings 17, verse 3. The command of the Lord to his servant, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. I'll focus in even more just to the words in the middle of the verse. They're especially relevant to our message tonight, where it says, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. The theme of the message, the theme of our Bible study this evening, is in the school of self-isolation. In recent times, during this pandemic, we've heard much about self-isolation. Many people have had to spend time in self-isolation, had to spend time all on their own, perhaps because they themselves or someone that they were close to had contact with or had tested positive to the virus. So self-isolation, I want you to think about that. Time spent on your own. And that, brethren and sisters, is how we find Elijah here in this chapter, 1 Kings 17. Elijah is in self-isolation. He's all alone. And he's found all alone at the place that is described in our text at the brook Cherith. I want to point out to you something that's very important, that there are two main parts to the life, to the ministry of Elijah. And they're summed up, those two main parts, they're summed up in two commands that the Lord gave to his servant. The first command is here in our text in verse 3. The Lord says, hide thyself by the brook Cherith. The other command, if you just turn the page to the next chapter, the first verse of chapter 18, you'll see there that Elijah is told, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So I want to encourage you tonight to note, perhaps even to mark in your Bible, these two commands that the Lord gave to Elijah. In chapter 17, he's told to hide himself. And then in chapter 18, he's told to show himself. So what I want you to see, to understand, here is the private and then the public aspects of Elijah's life. The private and then the public aspects of Elijah's ministry, of his service for the Lord. And it is the first of those two, the aspect, the first of those aspects of his life and service that I want us to consider in the meeting tonight. I want us to think about the private side of the Christian's walk and work for God. Sadly, I emphasize that to you, sadly, that is a side of the Christian life that is often overlooked. Many of the Lord's people imagine, and they imagine wrongly, that public ministry, public service is far more important, and it should be given the priority in our lives. But I want to emphasize to you tonight that that is a mistake. We need to realize, need to see, to understand, there is nothing more important than the private side of the Christian life, that time that we spend alone with God. So I stress to you tonight, brethren and sisters, there is a great need in the Christian life for times of retirement, a great need for times of self-isolation. That's really the vital lesson that the Lord is teaching us here in this chapter as a whole, but especially in the short passage that we have read from tonight. If we were to ask the question this evening, why did the Lord allow this pandemic that we're passing through? Well, there are many answers to that question. The one that I want to highlight or emphasize to give you in the meeting tonight is, it is to give the opportunity to us as His people to spend more time with the Lord, more time alone with the Lord, aside from all the busyness, all the activities of life. And the question for each of us, I put it to you tonight as we look back over the last 16 months or so, is the question is, did you avail of that time that the Lord gave to you? Did you use it wisely in that regard, to devote more time just to sitting at the Lord's feet, spending time in fellowship with Him? So here, brethren and sisters, is Elijah in self-isolation. And there were many vital lessons that the Lord wanted to teach His servant through this time, through this period of his life. Many vital lessons the Lord wanted to teach His servant as he sat there beside the brook Cherith. And that's why I have called this message, this study, In the School of Self-Isolation. The reality, you never graduate from God's school. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. There are always lessons for us to learn in the Christian life. So let us tonight ask, what lessons does God want us to learn at times of restriction, at times of isolation, times of retirement from the world, times such as Elijah finds himself in here in these verses that we're studying together tonight? Let me mention some of the lessons that he learned in the school of self-isolation. For one thing, he learned the lesson of preparation. Can I ask you to notice the contrast? It's a very important contrast between the description of Elijah at the start of the chapter and Elijah at the end of the chapter, in verse 1 and also in verse 24. In verse 1, he's called the Tishbite. Elijah, the Tishbite. The idea there is that he came from the village of Tishbe. That was on the other side of Jordan there in Gilead. But notice in verse 24, right at the end of the chapter, after all that he experienced, both in Cherith and in Zarephath, he is described there as a man of God. The verse states, "And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." So what I want you to see, what I'd like to stress and emphasize, is that this chapter, this time in Elijah's life, is all about the making of the man of God. And how vital that is, brethren and sisters. This was an important period of preparation in Elijah's life. It was a period when God was shaping his life, and shaping his life for future service. You know, it's important for us all to realize, for us all to learn, that all that the Lord brings you through, remember, He's the sovereign God, He's the all-wise God, and all that the Lord brings you through in this world, and all that He brings you through in this life, especially the times of isolation, the times in the private place, even the very difficult periods of your life, and all of those things, that the Lord is preparing you, and He's preparing you for what He wants you to do for Him in the future, in the days that lie ahead. Many examples of that in the Scriptures. Think of Moses. He was 40 years in the backside of the desert. And in those 40 years, the Lord prepared him for the great task to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness for those 40 years that were still to come. You think of David. David as a lad, he spent a lot of time on his own. He was out there in the field with the sheep. But in those years that he was alone with the sheep, God was preparing him. God was preparing him to fight his battles, to fight Goliath, and then to be king over Israel. Think of John the Baptist. Spent a lot of his life alone in the Judean desert. But that time prepared him. Prepared him to be the herald, to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of Paul, before he began to preach before he set out on his great missionary journeys. For 3 years he was in the Arabian desert, alone there with the Lord. Why was that? Well, God was moulding him, God was preparing him for his great missionary labours that lay ahead. You think of John the Apostle, and remember, at this stage of his life, John was a very old man. So the Lord's shaping us even to the very end of our days. John the Apostle was in self-isolation in the Isle of Patmos. But the result of that self-isolation was he wrote the book of the Revelation. God was preparing him for that great task. So what we need to see, brethren and sisters, may the Lord give us eyes, give us discernment to see it and to learn it tonight, that in times of confinement, in times of retirement, God has a purpose. God is still at work in our lives. The Lord is preparing you for a future work that he has for you to do. There's another lesson we learn in this chapter. That's the lesson of provision, God's provision. If you look there at verse 4, it says, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens." It's not tremendous. Does that show you God's power, God's control over all his creation? "I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." I want you to note that those words are a promise from God. God gave Elijah a promise. A promise for his days at Cherith. A promise for all of those days of isolation. God gave Elijah a promise about how the basic everyday necessities, such as food and water, would be supplied to him. And as Elijah went to Cherith to live in those very extreme circumstances, what the Lord was teaching him was this: to trust him and to trust his provision, his supply, and to trust his word, to trust his promise. God was teaching Elijah to trust him and his promise entirely. The Lord wanted Elijah not to doubt what he had to say, even when the circumstances seemed to be impossible. So I want you to see that, brethren and sisters. The Lord was teaching a servant here the lesson to rely on him for the basic, everyday, simple things of life. And consider how his faith in God's word was tested. Because God didn't give him the food for the whole year at the beginning. He didn't even give him the food for half of the year or a quarter of the year. No, God provided Elijah's food just a day at a time. "Give us every day our daily bread." Well, that's exactly what God did for Elijah. In fact, it was just a meal at a time. Brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh again in the evening. Just to highlight, if you study the life of Elijah, the prophets that Obadiah hid, there was 100 of them by 50s, and he fed them with bread and water. Well, Elijah actually fared, in obedience to God's will here at Cherith, he fared better than those prophets, because he got bread and flesh and the water of the brook. So every meal, a meal at a time, I want you to see Elijah was resting on God's promise for every meal that he ate. It's very interesting if you take time to study how Elijah was fed here at Cherith, how he was fed then at Zarephath, and also how he was fed under the juniper tree by the angel. What you will find is this: every time you read in Scripture of Elijah being fed, it is by the miraculous provision of God. So what a lesson, what an encouraging truth that is, brethren and sisters. In the school of self-isolation, God was teaching Elijah to trust him for everything. To trust him for every meal that he ate. And also for every drop of water that he drunk. Because remember, he's sitting by a brook, and the brook is slowly dwindling. And as verse 7 records, the day came when the brook dried up. And sometimes that happens in life, brethren and sisters. Maybe that's where you find yourself tonight. the brook dries up, the brook that supplies your daily needs, it can dry up. Maybe your job, your business, your income. Let me point out something very significant. One reason the Lord lets the brook dry up is this: so that you trust the provider and not the provision. You see, the danger is you can trust more in what the Lord has given you, but you're not trusting in Him. There's a great danger in that. And that's one of the reasons why the Lord allows the brook, the provision, to dry up, so that our trust is completely in Him, the one who is the provider of all our needs. So God taught Elijah to trust Him for everything. And we need to learn that lesson too, brethren and sisters. You think of the familiar words of Solomon in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We must learn to trust Him too. Trust Him totally. Trust Him completely. Trust in the Lord, it says, with all thine heart. Trust Him completely, without reserve, brethren and sisters. And then all the circumstances that the Lord brings you through in life, remember this. One of the lessons He's teaching us is to trust Him more than we've done in the past. So there's a lesson about His provision. There's also a lesson here about protection, the Lord's protection. Notice carefully those words in the middle of our text, in the middle of verse 3. And hide thyself. Don't you hide when there's danger? Well, God told Elijah to go and hide. And He even told him the very place where he was to hide. And what we have here is a clear example in Scripture of God's protection. God providing protection for His people. If you look at the opening words of chapter 18 again, the verse 4 especially, it tells us there, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. Remember, that's the context of our chapter. What that teaches us is that at the time that Elijah was at Cherith, this is what was going on in the land. Jezebel, that wicked queen, was carrying out a campaign of slaughter against the prophets of God. Like Bloody Mary in the days of the Reformation, Jezebel was putting all of God's faithful servants to death. So what that meant was that Elijah was a wanted man. He probably was the most wanted man in the kingdom at that time. Because remember, he was the most prominent, the most outspoken of the prophets of the Lord. His life was in danger. Jezebel especially wanted Elijah dead. But God still had a work for Elijah to do, a ministry for him to fulfill. Do you remember that George Whitefield would often say, "You're immortal until your work is done." God keeps His preserving hand upon your life, no matter what the desires of others might be against you. And you have a great example of that truth here. God protected His servant. And He protected Elijah so that nobody could find him. Nobody knew the whereabouts of Elijah during this period. Did you ever ask yourself, or did you ever consider, how secure was Elijah's hiding place at Cherith? Well, to give you an example, look at chapter 18 again. Look at verse 10. It tells us, "As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation." Remember, these are the words of Obadiah to Elijah. There is no nation or kingdom, whither my Lord, that's Ahab, hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, "He is not there," he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. Ahab had sent out search parties for Elijah. They had looked far and wide. They had looked even in other nations. But Elijah's hiding place was so secure that no one could find it. Not all the officials, not all the soldiers, not all the secret service of Ahab's kingdom could find where Elijah was at that time. In fact, it's quite interesting. If you read the Bible commentators, if you look at the Bible dictionaries, if you look at the Bible atlases, all that are available to us today, what you will find is that none of them know where Cherith is either. Not a one of them. They're certainly not agreed on its location. They will suggest this place and suggest that place. So that this, brethren and sisters, was the most secure hiding place that anyone could ever have had or ever did have. God protected his servant. You think of what God did for the Covenanters in Scotland. The mist came down upon them when they were out there in the highlands, out there in the heather. They called it the hem of his garment, the hem of the master's garment. And that mist that came down, it hid them from the view, hid them from the sight of the soldiers that wanted to arrest them and to kill them, to put them to death. You think of what David said. David said to Saul, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. You see, as a boy, alone there in self-isolation in the field, David had learnt that lesson well. God protects his servants. He delivers his people. He delivers his servants in times of trouble. And I say to you tonight, be encouraged. Be encouraged by that knowledge this evening, brethren and sisters. So in the school of self-isolation, Elijah also learnt about God's protection. I'll mention this one to you just quickly. He learnt a lesson also about patience. If you look at verse 7, the final verse that we took in our reading tonight, it tells us it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. You think of those words, after a while. Well, how long was that? How long was Elijah at the brook? Well, the answer is that Shemi believed Elijah was at the brook for approximately a year, a 12-month period or thereabouts. Now remember that the whole drought that he had prayed for lasted for 3.5 years. And for all of that time that Elijah was there by the brook, nothing was happening. You'd think, as you looked at it, nothing was happening in the land. Nothing was happening in the work of God. There were no battles to engage in, no messages to deliver. And to a man like Elijah, a man that was so full of energy, so full of activity, that was a severe test. That was a severe test of his patience. He had to learn to wait on God, to wait on God's time, even though many days were passing by. Now think of that, brethren and sisters, and then ask yourself, are you impatient? Maybe not just impatient with others, but impatient with God himself. You're impatient waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord working. Impatient waiting on the Lord answering your prayers, waiting on the Lord opening the door for you. Maybe you've waited so long that you feel like quitting, you feel like giving up. We learn here, learn from this great man beside the brook. We need to learn to be patient, brethren and sisters. Remember the psalmist, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. May the Lord give us the grace to do that. The Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Paul exhorts us in Hebrews chapter 12 to run with patience. Remember the Olympic Games? That's probably a reference there to the marathon, to the long race. Run with patience, the race that is set before you. So ask yourself, are you patient? Prepared to wait on God? Or are you always running ahead of the Lord? So here we have it, brethren and sisters, in the school of self-isolation. And in that school, Elijah learned lessons of preparation, provision, protection, and patience. Those are just four. They're not all the lessons. There are several others as well. These are just the ones that we have highlighted in the message tonight. So I want you to see his time there alone, his time aside from the work of God, his time aside from all the things of this world. That time by the brook was not wasted. The Lord had a reason. The Lord had a purpose. The Lord was working, moulding, shaping his servant for future service. I'll say this in closing. Often you hear people say, looking back in life, looking back to their school days, they would say, I wasted my time at school. What they mean by that is, they didn't learn the lessons that they were being taught. They didn't apply themselves to their studies as they should. Well, that's a good question to ask tonight. So we think of being in the school of God, the school of self-isolation. Just ask yourself, are you wasting your time? Wasting your time in God's school, God's classroom. Maybe the Lord's seeking to teach you. You haven't seen that yet. Maybe the Lord's seeking to teach you some vital lessons that you need to learn for days ahead. But you're not willing to receive them, not willing to learn those lessons. One of the things we all need to pray for regularly in the Christian life is for a teachable heart. A heart that's open to the instruction of God. Especially the instruction of God, even the instruction of others too. So pray for a teachable heart. And ask the Lord, in the words of the psalmist, teach me thy way, O Lord. So think of the words of our text as we finish. Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. In the school of self-isolation, may the Lord bless his word tonight to our heart.